You've heard of BetaShares. You've probably seen the logo on our podcast. You might even be among their 1 million investors. So you can imagine that I'm delighted to say BetaShares is the official ETF partner of the Australian Finance Podcast. With nearly 100 exchange-traded funds, you can go to betashares.com.au and immerse yourself in ETFs and unique insights covering all of the sectors, themes, core and satellite positions you could want. Think cybersecurity through the HACK ETF, robotics and AI with the RBTZ ETF, and uranium with the URNM ETF. The list goes on. To explore the BetaShares ETF range, visit betashares.com.au, read the relevant PDS and TMD on the website, and consider if the fund is right for you. BetaShares Capital Limited is the issuer.
Hey there, here's a quick note. This podcast contains general financial advice only. That means it's not specific to you, your needs, goals, or objectives, so don't act on the information until you've spoken with your financial advisor. You'll find our full disclosure, disclaimer, and link to our financial services guide in the show notes.
Hello, I'm Kate Campbell.
And I'm Owen Rask.
And you're listening to the Australian Finance Podcast.
A podcast where we talk about money, finance, investing, and all that good stuff.
We're helping you invest your time and money better one podcast episode at a time.
Yes, so please subscribe if you like the series. And don't forget you can find us on social media. We're on all the platforms. Kate, where can people go?
You can find us on Instagram and Twitter at Rask Australia. That's R-A-S-K Australia.
Mm-hmm. And I'm Owen Rask on Twitter. Or Owen Rask AU on Instagram. Beware the imitators. People like to copy us. Without further ado, let's jump in to today's episode. Kate Campbell, welcome to this episode of the Australian Fine Arts Podcast. How are you going?
I am doing very well, Owen. And this is the second last episode of our summer series.
Yeah, it is. It's special because Monique, Mini Pizza, Pizzica, how are you going?
Not bad.
Yeah.
I dragged Monique in since we don't have money and chill this month. So I thought she could come and join us for budgeting.
Yeah.
I can't wait to get stuck into it.
The budgeting expert, Monique.
Oh, yes.
Resident expert
Monique's
on budgeting.
Probably the best saver between the three of us.
Oh, for sure. Savviest with the budget, for sure. Also thrifty.
It's called just not spending money half the time.
Yeah, guys, get with the program.
I mean,
here's how you do it. Don't spend money. But also you save money in kind of fun ways as well.
Yeah. Well, I think I'm just not excessive with my spending and I really think about if I need something before I actually commit to it. And I'll think about it for a long time.
You were also telling me you still live like you're a uni student with minimum wage.
Yeah. So like for a long time, I was like with my jobs and stuff, it was either $200 like a week or plus freelancing. And then I didn't know when that freelance money would come. So I've just been, I haven't really changed my mindset in how I spend money. And I'm still like, oh, I don't know when I'm going to get paid next, which is not the case anymore. So yeah, I just really haven't changed.
That's good. Well, a lot of people lifestyle inflate, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. They just spend more. Like me.
2022 was definitely an expensive year for me. So this episode is my reset moment because this year I need to save a bit more.
Yeah. So budgeting is important.
Yeah.
Obviously. That's why we're talking about it.
And budgeting we give budgeting a really negative connotation. It's seen as a word that resembles restriction or scarcity or not being able to do what you want. But I like to think of budgeting more like I'm just giving my money a plan and an intention, and that's where I want to see it go this month. Maybe I don't want to pay my electricity bill, but I kind of have to. But I'm giving my money a plan for the month, and then I'm going, okay, well, if this is my budget, how am I actually going to fit it into my life? Because it's easy to set a budget and be like, $100 on food this month. But I don't know if anyone else can do that, but it's not very realistic. So you want to set a budget that's realistic, a realistic plan for your money. But if you want to reduce spending in certain areas of your budget, then you're actually going to have to come up with some strategies to do that. Because if you've been spending $1,000 every month on food for the whole of last year and suddenly you want to spend $500 a month on food, unless you come up with a plan to reduce that spending by $500, then it's not going to change.
Yeah. I think the one thing that we probably more and more advocating for is it's not about necessarily sacrificing a lot. Sure, that might feel like that, but it's more just like rearranging the priorities, spending with intention. You know that if you have $100, the food might be important for this, food is important. So then you don't go and spend on something else because that's what you've identified as important. That's your intention. Same with people, we'll talk about budgeting methods in a minute, but people are like, like they have like a fund money account. Just think of like all of your money like that. Like what you're prioritizing where that money goes. That's really all it is. A lot of people think that there's like one formula for all of this. Probably not.
No.
As we'll talk about.
And it changes all the time. Like my budget now as a homeowner is very different. And it took me about 6 months to work out what are the expenses I have now and what kind of council rates and when are they due and try to work out how that all fits together. And it's taken me quite a while to figure that out. And I'm still figuring it out.
Yeah, we all do it differently, I'd say. Do you have any bank accounts do you have, Monique?
Just the one.
One bank account?
Yeah.
Like one like centralized bank account?
Yeah.
Yeah, right. Yeah. I think I've got like five or six.
Like multiple under one institution or just one?
Well, like because I've
like
got-
one account?
One account, but I've got everything in my offset account. Yeah, so that's
two accounts.
Manage. Yeah, but there's nothing in the other one. So okay. It's like, it doesn't even exist.
Wait, so the offset account, do you have a card attached to that?
No, so I have my debit card, which I'll transfer money from the offset.
When you need it. So it's like an extra-
a separate transaction account that's linked to your debit card?
But it's got nothing in it unless you put money in it.
Yeah, exactly.
Jeez, so then you have that extra step of friction where if you want to buy something, you have to transfer the money.
Yeah, I'll see it transferred because I'll do it manually.
That's cool.
Yeah. That's just how I do it.
I've got like most of my money in the transaction account. Like when I say most of my like living money because all the money then just ends up getting invested or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
I also don't like the feeling. I'm kind of over the feeling of like, I think there's a lot of anxiety around this when I was younger, when I would actually buy something, there wouldn't be the money in there for whatever reason.
Mm.
So I'm over that now. Like I want money always in there.
Yeah, okay.
You want to have a constant float that you...
I want to be confident when I tap my card at the checkout that I've actually got the money.
Yeah, at the checkout being, oh, sorry, I just need to transfer some.
Yeah, I do that for the bigger things sometimes. It's rare though nowadays.
But then you're in the queue and people can see you log into your bank account.
Oh, that's fine. If there's no one behind me, I don't mind.
Okay.
Yeah, I think I just had a lot of anxiety around that when I was younger.
Okay.
Around, I would always be worried that I wouldn't have enough money, even if I thought I did because some bill that I never thought about or came out, whatever. It's interesting how we all do things differently. Mm. Yeah.
Whereas because I've set up all the big bills, like the hot water and the cold water, I still can't get over, I have to pay two separate ones. But anyway, I've set that all to automatically come out of the offset account and the money for the next 2 to 3 months of mortgage repayments is in the offset account as well. So I don't have to worry that something won't go through.
Cool. Neopets.
Oh, yeah.
Talk to us about Neopets. What Kate said, you were going to say something about Neopets, and this is a budgeting thing.
She's dragged
thing.
Me on this episode to talk about budgeting.
First
and the
of all,
only
what
thing.
Is a Neopet?
Did you never have like Neopets?
I'm thinking like sea monkeys. Is that a...
No, it's like an internet.
No. What?
You know, like sea monkeys?
Sea monkeys are real. Neopets are digital.
Yeah, it was on the internets, probably like in the early 2000s, Neopets existed and you had like your pets and you had to feed them and you played games and you could build your house.
Definitely. So it was like a Digimon.
Do you guys see a Digimon? You wouldn't have got that, Kate.
No.
I know what you're talking about, but I never had it.
Like the little square thing, like beep, beep, beep,
yeah,
and you like feed
that.
The little animals.
Yeah. Yeah, kind of like that.
Yeah, okay.
But you could do like a whole heap of, it was like a whole world. Neopet world. Anyway, so me and Kate were talking about budgeting and everything and like how I can save so well. And I think it originated from Neopets because you had to like, I can't even remember how you'd earn the money. I can't remember how you do it, but you had to earn money.
You could sell things. You could play games.
Mostly through
the
games.
You could trade. You could run a shop.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I had the shop. Oh,
yeah.
Bring back flashbacks. So then my main aim of Neopets, which was not anyone else's, I don't think, was to like get to 1 million Neo points. And that was like the currency, Neo points. So I think that really taught me like how to save money and the worth of things and how to spend your money. And yeah. Whereas I think most people with Neopets, they just don't know how to gamble. But that was not the case for me.
Just roll the dice. Some people just had
there are a lot of like spin the wheel games Neopets.
What, where you like risk it for the biscuit kind of thing?
Yeah. But I was always like, no, I need to get to 1 million Neo points. And yeah.
Did you get to 1 million?
I did. And then I got to 2 million.
Well, they say the first million's the hardest thing.
That's what they say.
What about Monopoly? Do you guys play Monopoly?
Yeah, but I never played it properly.
Yeah.
Yeah. What do you, if you land on Go, do you collect $200 or $400?
My rule is 200.
I haven't played it for a decade or so.
But I did make up a lot of rules.
I did like the game of life though, and Mousetrap.
Yeah, I heard that. I remember I didn't play a game of life as much, but it's interesting how these little games teach us a lot, isn't it? You know, I didn't have like a Neopets phase, but I did have like Age of Empires.
Oh, yeah.
Which was like the computer game where you'd like build civilizations.
Yeah.
But that taught you about like resources, building resources, and then creating things, like buildings and all that sort of stuff. Might go play that over summer. Mm. Anyway, so I think that's really a neat way to teach kids about like what this. Do you know what when we talk about capital allocation, Monique, in the investors podcast, you know how it's like seems like really fancy. Oh, capital allocation. Fancy what words. We're doing is we're just allocating resources.
Yeah, okay.
So just like the game.
Yeah.
That's what we talk about.
Yeah. You're in saving mode. Yeah. I remember I built a guild and all that sort of stuff.
In the game?
Yeah. You could create a guild. You'd find the, you'd get HTML from someone's blog, which you could add to your guild so it looked cool and you could customize it. So I learned the basics of HTML as a kid to do that. I can't remember it now, but I did at the time. And, you could grow the guild to thousands of members and you had different roles and responsibilities and there was guild newsletters. And, I feel like I do some of that now.
Remember during Christmas, the advent calendar?
Yes.
And you get all this free stuff? Oh,
it did teach us how to use the internet because you'd go to different blogs to find out all the secret hacks and codes and how to find the best paintbrushes and the pets.
I loved it.
It's still going now, by the looks of it. Neopets.com.
Oh, my God.
What? Is that it?
Yeah.
I just don't think it hit the same now.
I wonder if my Akara 2369 is still alive.
And because we all had to use fake birth dates to create the accounts. You remember the name? I don't know.
Wow.
Yes. Okay. So linking that back in with budgeting.
Yes.
Some people are natural savers, some are spenders, some are investors. Some are permanently stuck in a scarcity mindset that they're never going to have enough money. And I think it's important that we focus on budgeting as an experiment and just you're going to have to try different methods. We'll mention a couple methods today, but adjusting things and recategorizing and saying, okay, that doesn't work for me. I don't like having the categories. I just want to say pay myself first and that might work. So if one method doesn't work, just keep iterating until you find something that works. And it might take 12 months to kind of get comfortable with a particular way that you approach your spending and your saving. And it's something that, like, I like to check in at the end of each month and go, well, where on earth did my money go this month? Did it go in the places I was planning for it to go this month? If not, were these random expenses that popped up, were they something I could have planned for? Are there something I can plan for when this happens next year? Or was it just like a spontaneous fun part of life that I'm okay that I spent that extra money on?
Yeah. So, like, categorizing expenses is probably the revealing part, isn't it?
Yeah.
When you think about it. Did you ever do that?
Not really. No.
Like, would you know how much you spend on food and groceries each month?
I mean, roughly.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'd only know very roughly. Yeah. Like, I don't set a
It's limit not as if I'll it. Have a spreadsheet of like how I spend it. It's like I know where the money's going, kinda.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. What about you?
I'm very rough, but I know according to my upspending review that I spent a lot at the supermarket this year.
What's a lot? Like, is it like $10,000? Because I feel like
Well, it was kind of broken up because I've used different. A bit of a mess. But
so what would $10,000 be like? $200 a week. You wouldn't be $200 a week. But it's easy to spend 10 grand when you think about it.
Yeah.
Oh, I haven't worked out how to. The time I like cook a few meals and then have meals out like at lunchtime and then go out maybe once or twice on the weekend and buy groceries as well and then like top up milk. It ends up being very expensive. Like
I'd
probably be spending $1,000 a month on food and
related
activities, things that are edible.
Things that go in the mouth.
Yes. I think my food's one of my biggest expenses because I have minimal transportation. I just have PTV and Uber costs. So, utility bills, mortgage repayments and food is where my money seems to go.
Mm-hmm.
Calm down.
We've got the 10 things activity that we talked about a lot on the show. If you're new to this, we should have started with this. If you're new to the Australian Finance Podcast, Meg's our producer. She only comes on the show once a month.
We keep her in a box.
She hides behind the camera.
Drag everybody up every once in a while.
They're always a bit of fun. But, we've talked a lot about budgeting and different methods. And, I would say I'm more the second method in today's show, which is like the sort your rocks out, put your big rocks in first. Is that what it is?
Yeah.
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 So the, like, the jar analogy. Can you explain that?
Well, we can talk about that first. So one method that's quite simple is paying yourself first.
Yeah, paying yourself first.
Yeah. And
also,
so
I think in rocks.
Yeah, I did write sort out the big rocks in the show notes. So that's where it's coming into your head. Okay. Like, okay, paying off debt's really important to you this year. That's your big goal for the year, to pay off your debt. So,
so that goes in your jar first.
If we're putting $500 a month aside to paying off our debt, firstly, we've worked out that we can afford to do that. So we do have enough money to meet our minimum living costs.
Mm-hmm.
But we will put that money straight away as soon as we get paid into paying off debt. And then the rest of the expenses just kind of fall in around that. I don't categorize everything. It's just like, okay, there's $2,000 left. That's it for the month. That's just what I'm managing on. And so not categorizing everything to the nth degree.
So it's like the jar analogy, if you're new to this. It's like you have a jar. Imagine the jar's all of the spending, like all of the money you have. You put the big important things in first and all the little things falling around the outside. It's like just it's like an analogy for life as much as money.
Yeah.
You get the big things right in first and then everything else will take care of itself.
Yeah. I do think this method, you do need to plan for those chunky expenses though. So if you do have a rates bill or you have your annual insurance bill or all of those things that come up and suddenly it's like, where's that money?
Yeah.
You need to make provisions for that.
When we talk, you can use your emergency fund for that if you do get caught out. The emergency fund is 3 to 6 months of living expenses and cash set aside in a savings account. You can use that for those lumpy things, but then you have to repay that. And I think that's one place where people go wrong with any type of budgeting method, is they go very specific in the beginning, which is good because you kind of clean out the closet, which is the other method we'll talk about. You kind of clean out the closet and you're like, this thing every month. But then, oh no, car insurance and health insurance on the same day. I don't have the money to cover that. So what do? Well, you dig into the other accounts where you just separated the money and then you feel like you failed. And that's what we call not having a float, like a cushion to land on. Yeah. Brings you back up.
I think this method works better if you've already got the emergency
fund. I would say that, yeah.
And a few things, because I think the method I'm going to talk about now, like the old school method, is really important if you've never looked at your spending before, because this one's hard. If you currently don't have any money left over at the end of each month, paying yourself first might mean you end up with not enough money at the end of the month.
Yeah. So this first one is kind of like the rawest version of a budget because it breaks it back down to scratch. This is also the most emotional. So if you are about to go on this journey, congratulations, you will get through it.
Yes.
Even if you've got a credit card, even if you've got a personal loan, even if you're going backwards, you will get through it. Describe what it is. What do you do?
So this is more like what people would imagine when they're thinking of the word budget. So we're going to break down what all the spending categories we currently use. And
something about transport, bills, rent, that type of stuff.
Your food, your insurance, your healthcare, paying off debt, gifts, all of that sort of stuff. And we're going to look at our spending over the last 6 months.
Yeah.
And so what we want to find is what's our average spending each month in these categories? And different categories will be more important for you and some won't be. So if you don't have a car, then your transport category is going to look very different from someone that does.
Yeah.
And whether you go through your budgeting app, a personal budgeting tool, your bank might categorize all of these things for you and you might just have to go and review to make sure the gifts you got for Christmas are in the gifts section and not in just the entertainment section, because things don't categorize perfectly. So, or you could just print out or download an Excel with your spending for the last 6 months. And then you want to try and categorize that into the food, the housing, transportation, bills, to find out what are you currently spending on average per month in all of these categories.
Mm.
And that is a big step and it's going to take a while. So that is why it could be something good to do over the, set that as your goal for the next month if you've never done that. So firstly, we just want to be honest with ourselves and have a good look at what we spend in all the categories.
Mm-hmm.
And then,
which is harder than it sounds.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, I still haven't done that very well.
Like, Mel Brown says it's like standing naked in front of people. Like, a lot of people would rather stand naked in front of someone than do this.
Yeah.
So be prepared.
Until Up told me how much I spend on food.
You didn't want to do it.
I didn't know. And it was a lot. But when all those small things add up, like, it's quite revealing.
But coffee is good.
Yeah. Yeah. And so, if you want to do this as a pie chart, once you've worked out, okay, I have $1,000 of income each month and this is how I spend roughly 20% in this area, 10% here. And so you kind of get a rough direction of where your spending is currently. And then you want to think of okay, well, this year I really want to start investing.
Yep.
So I'm going to need some money left over at the end of each month. So at the moment, if my income and my expenses are pretty much the same, I've got nothing left over in my bank account at the end of each month. So how can we, if we can't increase income right now, how can we decrease our expenses so we have some money left over each month? And maybe we have $200 left over at the end of each month that we can use to invest. And so we're going to have to look at what we're currently spending on average and what are some categories we can reduce spending on. So for utility bills, there might be, if you haven't looked at it for a while, there might be some better rates or a much cheaper NBN or phone plan option. So you might be able to go through each of those and reduce costs in some of that. And that will reduce the spending each month in that area. And then suddenly that will free up some money at the end of each month. And you can go, all right, I've found space for that $200 to be put aside for investing. So it takes a bit of time though. This is not a quick process at all.
How long would you say it would take?
Well, I'd say probably like half an hour to an hour, like to go through 6 months of spending and recategorize things if you're using an app that was already doing most of the heavy lifting.
So if you're going to just get a printout and highlighter, it'd probably take a few hours.
Oh, that would, yeah, that would, if you're printing out 6 months of statements, because we have so many little things we just pay for during the day.
Save the paper.
Yeah,
save
it could be better to put it into Excel and then you can filter things and you can go filter by Coles. And
you'll quickly work out where these major things are.
Yeah. It's just because people have random things that pop up.
I'll tell you, I did the same thing many years ago. I did it a few times repeatedly. I just did it with 1 month, but then I also knew what else I needed to pay. So I just imagined like, okay, I've got 1 month's worth of stuff, which could be irregular, sure, but then I knew car insurance is annual, registration's annual, my like contents insurance is annual. So like I knew what was annualized.
Yeah.
And then that way I knew, like I wasn't just doing 1 month and imagining the other stuff doesn't exist. But that was quicker and easier for me. I think I would have got overwhelmed if I did 6 months, but some people would do that.
Yeah, it's just because like 1 month you might be booking all the travel, which is not something you book every month, but then you might go, okay, I spent $5,000. Well, how can I work out an average amount per month so I can put this in my budget?
Financial planners call this a retrospective budget, just looking backwards.
Mm.
Drew always, you know, as you know, talks about how this is the only type of budgeting they do with their clients when they come in the door because it's the only one that counts. I tend to agree with that, but some people, there are those really, like those superhumans out there that can be like, nah, starting from scratch, cutting all my cards up, canceling them. I'm going to start from scratch, blank canvas. You can do that. Some people can do it. Some people need that. Like Mel Brown always talked about the detox. She still does the detox twice a year. This is a financial professional of like a long time. Talks about how she detoxes from things like you do. You know how you do like the detox from like TV and that. She detoxes from finance, like spending for a month. And she also does 7-day sprints, I think. So she'll do like little mini sprints of like detox from this, detox from that. So good. I'm hoping to detox from the phone.
I mean, you could start doing the budget from scratch. You could go as of the 1st of February or whenever you want to do it, every spent thing I spend money on is going to be added to the budget as a line item and build it up from there. And say I'm going to cancel everything not cancel everything, but write down all the main expenses, no spending until I record it on the spreadsheet or something.
You can
like
actually find that when you do this, though, if you get a list of your expenses, you can actually find the thing that's least valuable to you. So it might be, say, you know, you spend a little bit extra on, like you said, a utility bill that you don't need to. Or it might be something like, in transportation, I spent X amount on toll roads. I don't need to take that toll road. I can just take the extra 5 minutes and go somewhere around and save myself $50 a week.
A few times for sure.
Yeah, I do that all the time. Yeah. I'm definitely a sucker for convenience.
Yeah.
Like everyone sees me coming. Toll road, extra 10 minutes. I'm like, I'll take the toll road. I'm like, wait, that makes sense.
I mean, the reason we're going through all of this and trying to work out where we're spending right now is just so we can make more room for paying off debt to save, to invest. So we can actually
own assets.
Yeah. The next wealth. Episode, we'll be talking about Owen's vision board activity where you can have what you're working towards and what the why behind your financial goals. So in this episode, we're creating some space so you've got money left over to do things with at the end of each month. And then next episode, we're going to say, well, this is what you could do with the money.
Yeah. And so this is more the tools and like some of the two ways to do it. So just in summary here, we've got the kind of like retrospective where you look back, the old school method, like print out the statements or look at a statement and write down your spending. And you can turn that into pie charts, like percentages or whatever. So you've got your incoming, your outgoing. But then after a time, I think the big rock one, which sounds like what you do, Monique, to be honest, which is where like, you have your jar and you know roughly what the big rocks are that you need to pay and you prioritize. Yeah. And then what's left over is you can invest that or you can do something with it that you want to do.
And you can switch between them. Because I think I've, for the last year, I've been doing the pay yourself first. So I had my goals at the start of the year. I broke it down each month. There's 200 here, 300 here, 1500 here. And this is the big rocks and they just happened and everything else fell around that.
Automation.
But I think because I had a lot of expenses and I bought a property and money was just going everywhere, that I need to do the old school method for a while to bring things back down to earth.
Yeah, you need to just like reset a bit, right?
Yeah, because suddenly I don't know where things are going and
I had to do that
what's
recently.
Going on and I need a reset. So I think for my plan is for February 2023 that it's a bit of a detox reset month and figure out, okay, these are my bills. These are my core here. And so trying to work out what my budget actually is and check back in with my spending, which I think is probably a good idea to do at least once a year.
Absolutely it is. Yeah. I think that just checking in, like I had to do that recently as well, did it late 2022, just to check in and make sure everything's shipshape.
Yeah.
It wasn't, but that's okay.
Because when you're tapping,
I corrected it.
When you're tapping all the time, you lose track of where you're spending and you can go suddenly, oh, I am spending a lot of money here and I didn't really want to. But if we just, we're not looking at it with intention, it's very easy to lose track of what's happening. And so going back to the drawing board and maybe starting from scratch and building up your budget again, especially if your circumstances change, if you move to a new state, new job, new relationship, things change. And that might be the right time to go and check in and go through the last 30 days of spending and build it back up again.
Mm. Yeah. Makes sense.
Yeah. Is there any areas you're trying to spend less on this year, Monique? Or more on for you?
Maybe more, honestly. Yeah.
Do you want to invest more? That's an interesting
one. Yeah, probably.
Yeah?
Yeah, that's something like I've just kind of started, obviously. Mm. So that would probably be a nice thing to do now that I earn a little bit more money. Mm. Like I can do it now. Before, like I couldn't. But yeah, I don't know. I just find it so hard to break out of the habit of just spending more money because I've been so long not doing that. Yeah. I don't know. I think it's going to take a long time for me to try and spend more money on anything.
What is like one thing or one activity you want to splurge on this year?
Well, I love traveling and experiences. So maybe just go away for a weekend where I usually wouldn't do that.
Okay.
Yeah.
So a little weekend adventure sometime in the first half of the year.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Interesting. This is a fill an arc developing in the podcast.
Well, I feel like I'm going to check in with Monique if by June she's had her little weekend vacation.
You need to force me to book it, otherwise I won't do it.
We'll send her to Dalesford.
Yeah, somewhere like that. Somewhere nice.
Well, sometimes you need. I did it for someone in my family recently that they're very much in the saving mindset for so long, and I just gave them like, you can actually afford to do X, Y, Z thing, and I just kind of like, I was like, blah, blah, blah. Here's all the pros. There's not really many cons because it wasn't very much money. They were just in the mindset that it was like something they shouldn't be spending money on, but they actually wanted to do it. So I just gave them a bit of a nudge and then they were very happy they did it.
Yeah. Because I really don't have anyone telling me that, hey, Monique, you can actually spend more money now. It's always like, no, you need to save. You always need to save. So I've never really had anyone around me saying like, no, you can spend money.
And a lot of the content is about saving. We talk about saving and investing, but we don't talk about spending as much.
Do you think that's because you feel bad? Like you feel insecure about spending? Or is it just habit?
I always feel guilty when I spend money.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. It's just, I don't know. It's just, maybe it's
shouting copies 2023 every day. Let's break the habit, man.
Do you feel guilty when you buy us coffee? Pardon? Do you feel guilty when you buy us coffee?
No, I don't because like I feel like that's generous and I'm giving something that makes you guys happy.
Okay.
So I feel good about that.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's lovely. You can do it more.
So it's hard. you find it harder being generous to yourself.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. When it's something just for me, I'm like, oh, I probably can live without that. And then I'll just never end up getting it.
What about like when it comes to like crafts and that sort of stuff?
Yeah. I'll always wait for a sale.
Yeah. Right. Okay.
Yep. Linkcraft notifies me and the
Linkcraft, if you're listening, yeah. Sponsor the show.
Please. Love Linkcraft.
Yeah, okay. So, okay, cool.
Yeah.
That's interesting. I feel like there'll be a lot of listeners hearing this right now.
I'll hardly buy something.
I'm like Monique.
Yeah,
because maybe you want to spend more money on your hobbies that you love.
Yeah.
Because you have the money there. You might go, I want to get the merino wool this time for my next project.
Well, during like lockdowns and stuff, that's where I learned all my crafts. I didn't feel guilty by all the supplies because I was like, well, I'm not going out. I'm not doing anything else. I'm not spending money anywhere else. So I can spend money here.
Okay. But you had to like go for a whole justification process.
Yeah. And I still kind of felt guilty in the end. But like I had to justify everything.
Yeah. I feel like we need to check back in with Monique.
Yep.
Like, watch later
the space.
In the year.
Watch the space. Yep.
Can she spend a little bit more on things she likes, like a hobby or a travel or weekend away?
Yeah.
Mm.
And like actually start to feel good about it. Like you deserve it. You worked for it and you actually saved the money for it.
Yeah.
Yeah. One thing before we go and we leave everyone to think about their budgeting for 2023. It doesn't have to be a bad thing, by the way. It can be positive, as you just heard. Is we have an automation course on RASC Education. It's one of our newest courses. It's a very short course. You can complete it in an hour and it will give you a cheat sheet on how to automate basically everything. So when it comes to investing, when it comes to money management, there are some things that shouldn't be automated, which we also cover. It's a really punchy short course on RASC Education. You can get it for free. Just enroll in it. And if you're the type of person who maybe touches money or in Monique's case wants to invest more but maybe feels guilty about certain things, you can automate that. Automation is definitely the number one tool or number one friend of the budgeter. So like everything, like we share some stories about what we do in that. It's really easy to automate savings now, incredibly easy to automate investing as well now, which is awesome because that's a new thing. So you can do all of this stuff, put your money on autopilot and then get back to listening to our other episodes about lifestyle design and like which ETFs to buy and all that sort of stuff.
Yeah, and we also talk about budgeting and different, a few more methods than this, like the 50-30-20, the percentage-based budget in our RASC Road Trip, the free budgeting course. So I'll link that in the show notes. But I feel like, Owen, are you spending more or less on any areas this year?
Spending is not the right word, but I want to spend more on investing. So I'm treating, more and more I'm treating, because I'm automating more of it, I'm treating my investing like a bill. Just like Tash always would say.
Yeah.
I'm treating more of my investing like a bill. It's a bill I pay every month, just like electricity, just like a mortgage, just done.
Yeah. So are you reducing spending in any other areas so you can allocate more towards investing?
You know what? Like people like who know me, like you guys know me, people think that I'm a sieve, like money hits my pocket, disappears like flour into a sieve. That would be true if you looked at like what I spend, like I buy coffees every day and all that sort of stuff. But outside of that, I do not spend money on anything, like anything.
Except technology, virtual reality goggles.
Yeah, I bought virtual reality goggles.
He's used like three times.
The cost per wear. That was more like due diligence on a Facebook investment for Meta platforms. But anyway, I don't spend a lot of money. So for me, I would probably like to spend, this is going to sound weird, I would like to spend more money on clothing because I often don't.
Let's go shopping.
You see me, like every day I wear a RASC top. The company pays for the tops, right? So like every day, even on weekends, I wear the same shit. So I'm like, I wish I just took a bit more care with myself.
Yeah.
Oh, one final thing I will add, something I do want to spend more on is actually self-care. Mm-hmm. So building things like going for a regular massage, even if it's like every few months, or like marathons and the running stuff.
Yeah.
Like that sort of stuff I think is good for me. And actually spending on it means that I do it. So I would like to do a lot more of that.
A good way to commit yourself to that is to book in those like health and wellness appointments in January for the entirety of the year. Like I know some people will go through, okay, I've booked in my eye appointment, my dentist, my psych, my massages, my physio, and book them in 12 months in advance if it's something that you use already on a regular basis. And so it's already in the calendar. It's already there. So you don't have to go through that mental admin of like, when was the last time I went to the dentist?
The actual organizing is the worst bit. So that's why I like...
So set a couple of hours and actually just book in all of those life admin, mental health, physical well-being appointments for 12 months.
Yeah, that's cool. I like that.
Because
like,
you don't have to pay for
you can do recurring
front.
As well. You know who gave me the idea around that was Mick Weimer, mm-hmm. you know? He,
oh, yeah, with the house.
Yeah, with the house. He has the same thing for the house. He basically automates all the maintenance of the house. So he's got like a deck that needs to be oiled twice a year. So he, when he got the painters to come and paint his house, he said, okay, what's my maintenance plan for paint? And he said, okay, well, if that needs to be done twice a year, when do I need to do it? You're here, here, and you're here, here, and I will budget for that now.
Yeah.
And you can do the same for lawn care, for cleaning. Like you actually go to the experts and you say, when should I be here? And then you're like, okay, let's book that all in right now.
Yeah.
And I think that's just such a stress-free way to organize your self-care and your life. So cool. That's where I want to do it. So we've all got each individual thing. What are you going to spend more on? Did you say what you're going to spend more on?
No, this is the year I'm spending less.
Spending less. You're just organizing.
Yes. I'm spending, the big one for me that has spiraled completely out of control is food.
So let's rein that in.
Yes.
Let's rein that in.
Between less Meredith's goat cheese.
Thank you, Drew. Yeah.
Oh, I don't think I'll change. I'm still buying the Meredith goat cheese. But I mean, I have a smaller amount of time, so it lasts longer. But I still want to work on my cooking. I've started on that. And just cooking maybe 2 to 3 times meal a week prep. And making lunch more and things like that. And doing more meals at home with friends and things like that. And just a little bit less mindless spending on the cost of food.
I like that. So you got...
It kind of just went crazy this year.
That's all right. There's worse things to spend money on. I think all of us weren't like, yeah, you know, like my TAB account, like it's whatever. That's more of a vice. And we don't seem to have that as a priority, which is a real thing, by the way.
Hmm.
If you are listening to this and you've got a vice like that, whether it's an addiction or you've got gambling or something like that, please get help. Beyond Blue, you know, Gamblers Helpline, all those things are real things.
We'll
so
put that in the show notes.
Yeah, that's really important to us. So make sure you get onto that. But it seems like for us, well, with Monique and I, it's like trying to spend a little bit more in the right areas. And with Kate, it's like, let's cut back on that goat cheese over there.
Yeah, the
and
food
the
is...
croissants.
The food part is really hitting the budget. So, yeah, reining in that a little bit more, resetting my budget. So I might update in the next Money or Chill also how I go with
yeah,
that.
Yeah, that'd be cool. Yeah.
I think I might just... I'm just going to go through everything and be like, these are the core categories. This is where I want to spend the money and figuring out what does my budget look like now that my life's in a different spot. And yeah, I will update on how I go lowering my food costs because it does seem to add up. And I want to direct that money because I'm giving it a job. Because if you don't sort of reallocate the funds, sometimes they just end up absorbed into another area. So I'm going to be reallocating the funds I save in food each month into my offset account because I'd like to increase the balance there.
That's good. Offset account is a great way to save. Well, this seems like a bit of fun. You did mention the phrase money and chill, which is every month we hit the podcast airways with Monique.
Yes.
Mini pizza. And we have a bit of a chilled out episode. So if you like the Australian finance podcast and you like the more laid back episodes, those are for you once a month. Mm. In addition to ETF reviews, stock yep. market investing, property, budgeting, psychology, books, authors, all that stuff. It's on the Australian
Yeah,
finance
so there'll be
podcast.
Plenty of more serious content for you for the rest of 2023.
Yes. But if we can all work on our budgets and our spending plans, I'm going to spend more on self-care. Monique, you're going to spend more in general.
Mm-hmm.
And Kate, less on food, please. I think we can have a good year.
What was the please for?
Plenty, please. Yes, please, with serious eyes, please.
We'll put all the links we mentioned yeah. from today's episode. There's a few free courses if you want to dive into this more.
Heaps of courses.
Spreadsheet.
Yeah.
You
get
yeah.
spreadsheets, you get everything in the free courses. So go and enroll in a course, please, please, please. That's our priority for as a business for 2023. So go and check that out and share it with your friends. Share the love. All right, ladies, Monique, thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
And Kate, as always, thanks for joining me.
Thanks for listening, everyone. Thanks for tuning in to this episode of the Australian Finance Podcast, where our mission is to improve the financial futures of all Australians. If you'd like to learn more, create a free account at rusk.com.au/account to download free episode workbooks, bonus resources, and take our amazing free personal finance courses.
You can also join our online community by following the link in the description. If you enjoyed the show, what we'd love is for you to leave us a snappy review on iTunes. And you can follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Rask Australia. Kate and I are also on both of those channels. Finally, if you have any feedback, suggestions for episodes or guests to come on the show, or you just have a question for us, shoot us an email at podcasts@rask.com.au.
InvestSmart's portfolios are turning 10. And to celebrate, 10 InvestSmart boot camps are up for grabs. This self-paced online course is ideal for both seasoned investors and those who are just starting out. Valued at $99, you could win a spot on this highly rated course. To enter the competition and for terms and conditions, simply visit investsmart.com.au/win. Don't miss out on this chance to learn from experts and take your investing to the next level. Simply visit investsmart.com.au/win. Good luck. Thanks for listening to this podcast. Before you go, I wanted to share some things with you. Specifically, I wanted to tell you about the 10 ways that Rask could help you in 2024. As many of you know, Rask has grown to become one of the biggest investing and finance platforms in Australia. Across our podcasts, our websites, our memberships, and so on, we now engage around 200,000 Aussies, which, considering we started in a humble lounge room on a Kmart desk, one of those old fake white wooden ones, I'm pretty ecstatic about where we are 6 years later. As part of becoming one of Australia's biggest platforms for wealth creation and preservation, we now have a very special position in the country in that we can bring you some of the best, most thoughtful, expert-driven ways to protect and grow your wealth. And I'm going to share some of those with you now. I've got 10 ways that we can potentially help you or match you with someone who can. The first thing that I want to tell you about is the biggest step we've ever taken at Rask, which is the launch of our Rask Invest platform. This is a platform that lets our team, led by me, invest for you, primarily through low-cost, diversified ETFs. We'll have three strategies at launch, and every investor who comes through can pick one of the three strategies, being a balanced strategy, a growth strategy, and a high-growth strategy. The balanced strategy focuses on passive income, and the high growth strategy focuses on longer term compounding. You will find a link in your podcast player to register your interest. We will be taking off soon. Number two, if you prefer to DIY your investing, you can join me and over 4,000 members inside Rask Core. That's our full ETF and ASX share research membership community. You can join now and you'll get updated ETF portfolio recommendations every quarter, as well as ongoing ASX and global stock research. Every single month, we call them the All-Star Stocks. You get that alongside the ETF portfolios, as well as other members-only content. It's called Rask Core. Number three, our first ever partnership with a business other than our own was a business by the name of Blusk, which has since become Flint Group. Flint Group is led by Chris Bates and Christian Stevens, two of Australia's most highly regarded mortgage brokers. Already over 200 Rask community members have begun the Rask plus Flint Group mortgage broking process. You can click the link in your podcast player if you're refinancing, investing, a first home buyer, or whatever. You've probably heard Chris on the show many times. Number four, you can connect with our most trusted financial advisors. Whether you're 25 years old, just graduated uni and looking to set yourself up, or approaching or in retirement and you've got that nest egg you want to protect and generate a passive income from, you can get in contact with our trusted panel of financial advisors. You can find the link in your podcast player. It's there each and every week. Just click the thing that says financial planning. Number five, if you want specialist insurance advice, as Warren Buffett said, rule number one is don't lose money. And rule number two is don't forget rule number one. Insurance is vitally important, especially when it comes to your number one asset, you. Whether you're a single income household or a couple, and you just want to protect what would happen if. You want to protect your family if something goes wrong. You want to protect your spouse if you lose your job. You want to protect yourself if you hurt yourself on the weekend at footy. Insurance is a way to do that. And I think the best way to do insurance is through a financial planner. And there's a few reasons for that. But one of them is sometimes some insurers will only work with financial advisors, but they can also be your companion as you go through the sometimes daunting process of getting insurance done properly. Sometimes you might not even know, but you're not even covered, even though you think you are. So get the right advice. You'll find a link in the show notes to check that out. Number six, buying property. If you're like me and you're thinking of buying property in the next 12 months, or maybe you've already invested and you're looking to downsize, getting the right advice and being able to build wealth through property is a proven strategy. It might be one of the most contentious, but I think that we have one of Australia's best property coaches in our ranks. That is Pete Wargent. Pete is the host of the now super popular Australian property podcast by Rask, and he's also my analyst team's macro consultant. So if you're a member of RaskCore, you will have seen Pete's name around the traps. He's a property coach and buyer's agent, and he works with a select number of people each and every year. Just a note on this, this is not a commercial thing with Pete. Pete just has great services, so we offer them to the community. And when he fills up, he fills up. You can find out more about Pete's coaching in the show notes. Next up, tracking your portfolio for tax? I think you are, because I think you have to. So we've partnered with Nevexa to help you manage your share and ETF reporting, whether it's tax or performance. All RASK users get 20% off an annual plan with Nevexa. You can sync your portfolio with Nevexa's software, and it automatically tracks your dividends, your capital gains tax, and more. Again, not a commercial partnership. We don't make anything from working with Nevexa, but they do create some great tools which the RASK community uses each and every day. Number eight. Want to run your own business? Maybe you already do. If you want more profit, but less stress, less time consumed, and less energy lost, get in contact. We have a partner business called Inflection. The Inflection Accelerator Program is a complete online course that helps you and a community of members engage and follow a proven strategy for growing your business. I'm grateful to be one of the coaches inside the Accelerator program, helping business owners right across Australia. You can find more following the link in your podcast player. It's the one that says coaching. Number nine, if you haven't already checked it out, join over 20,000 other people who tune into the RASK YouTube channel. It is completely free and you get notified when we go live and when we publish podcast episodes. There is a podcast on the RASK network each and every day, as well as bite-sized material that's less than 60 seconds, or those really punchy tutorials and webinars that are just 15 minutes that take you through a really exciting topic, whether it's how to buy a property, whether it's how to pick a dividend ETF. Some of our most popular content actually just explains things like, what the heck is franking credits and how do I calculate if I've got some? That's on our YouTube channel. Number 10, if you want to be a better investor, a saver, a better partner with money, or just understand your own relationship with money, you can do that. All of that by going to the RASK Education website and taking a free course. We've enrolled over 26,000 students at the time of this recording, and we are on a mission to get to 100,000 in the next few years. RASK Education is our mostly free education platform, covering everything from budgeting and automation to the probably, I would say, the best value investing program in the country. So whether you're a value investor, an intermediate investor, you want to know how to value Woolworths shares, or you simply just want to understand what ethical investing is, or buy your first property and what actually happens on settlement day, head to the RASK Education website and enroll in something today. It is free and it supports us, because then I can come on here next month and I can say we've got 27,000, and hopefully we reach critical mass where we can help more Australians manage their money better. Thank you for listening to this long-winded ad. If you want to get in contact with me, you know where to go. There's a link in your show notes. Basically, these 10 services, even though some of them we don't make any money from, support RASK and allow us to produce these podcasts, attract the biggest and best guests from Australia and around the world, and bring them to you to answer your questions. Thank you for being part of the RASK network, and thank you for your ongoing support. Bye for now.